Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a moving party, man.
Yeah, brother, dig it. Stop right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Hey, good morning, Sam. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. I'm loving the sun and the warmth today.
Yeah, it's coming. And the sky is blue and, you know, a few clouds, but it actually resembles a spring day.
I'm not going to hold my breath, though. I'm not going to do it.
Well,
not until May.
Yeah, well, that's probably the best thing. I plant flowers, and I was thinking about, well, maybe I can get an early start, but no, you can't rush it. You know, it'll come when it comes. I've got a guest on the line, and I'm wondering if he's calling in. You know, there was a commercial that played earlier that said that we can teach you how to think again on this show, and I'm wondering if that's why he's calling, so we can teach him how to think again. Mr. Al Holmes, good morning to you, my friend of my father's house. What's going on? Is that why you're calling in?
To learn how to think again?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. that's one of the commercials that
I need to know how not to respond.
you know how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. It is good to have you on the air, man. We got a lot to talk about. Let's begin by, you got great opportunities, you know, at a time when people are struggling, you know, for a decent paycheck. You've got an opportunity for people to get a decent paycheck.
Yes, there's a company called Harrigan out of Grafton who do short-term projects, and they asked me for several years to assist them in recruiting crews to be able to do some of the work. It's different types of work. Some of it's construction, and then others is working for other companies. But right now, they've contacted me asking me to help them find 75 people who can assist in taking down the dome over the soccer field at Marquette University. Every year, they put that up so that they can practice and utilize the facility in the winter. And then at this time of the year, they have to take it down so that they have an open field so that they can compete and practice. So we are looking for 75 bodies, male or female, to help take the dome off of the soccer field.
You know, you use the verbiage short term. Let's talk about what you mean by short term.
Well, this particular project only takes 3 to 4 days, approximately 1 week of time as far as the actual work. And they are going to start on the 20th of May, and they have to be done by the 26th. I'm not sure what the total number of hours per day will be, but I know it's going to be at least 6 hours per day. It's a matter of taking the dome down and packaging it up and putting in storage for the summer. And they're paying $22 an hour for each individual, and they're providing free lunch. So we're looking for able-bodied people, men or women, 18 and older, who can do some little physical work with their crews, so they'll be working with teams. So it won't be any heavy lifting or anything like that. We would recommend that they come to the job, if they are called, with work clothes on, you know, long pants, jeans preferably, and some good shoes, not tennis shoes or soft top shoes.
You know, Al, so what are the requirements? I mean, can I be
18 and older?
No, no. Can I be a felon? Can I be somebody who, you know,
I'm 18 and older with a little bit of muscle.
Okay, so
learn how to follow directions.
Yeah, clearly, no drug tests, none of those things.
None of that.
We're
talking to people as they sign up to make sure that they come sober and that they're willing to take direction and get the job done.
You know, $22 an hour for, you know, for a week. You know, and 6 hours a day, it adds up. I mean, it could put in that week's time, it could put $400, $500 in somebody's pocket.
That's correct.
Which is
some of it may be longer.
Yeah, which is good for, you know, somebody who, you know, doesn't have work. As a matter of fact, is good for people who may be working a job that will allow them the opportunity, based on the different hours, an opportunity to add to whatever it is they're making.
That's correct. And, you know, this could lead to other employment and, you know, full-time employment in other capacities, because they're always looking for people for different jobs that they have. And those who come and work well and, you know, work well with their crew chiefs and what have you, they may be called back upon to do other work and or may be hired by a company to, you know, it's an opportunity to show what you can do.
So why am I wasting my
decent money?
So why am I wasting my time with radio?
Because you're old.
We
don't need you.
There's age discrimination. Is that what you're saying? I'm old?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
See, you're younger than me, and that makes, you know, that puts us out of the
No, that puts you
Neither
out of
one of us can handle it.
You don't know what I can handle. You know, I am more than qualified to handle things like that.
Remember, I coached high school sports for 49 years, so I maintained my conditioning.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm in pretty good shape, man. There's no question. You know, Al, we've got a lot to talk about, and a lot of it, I especially wanted to talk with you. I got a call again yesterday from a radio station in Milwaukee, WTMJ Radio, for the second time in a couple of weeks. Last week I got called for interviews. Last week I got called to do a live interview for Channel 12. And so they're calling me because I created, you know, an organization called Voices of the Elders to address these young boys who are stealing cars in our community. And they asked me again because it's escalating, and they were asking me, well, you know, what can we do? And I had to say to them, you know, well, some of them mentioned, well, you know, there are people who are saying we need to increase the penalty, we need to lock them up, and I'm like, clearly the people who are trying to address this don't have a clue of what they're talking about. You know, if their answer is we're going to lock these boys up for longer periods of time, where are you going to lock up boys 10 to 15 years old, Al?
You know, well, it's not about that.
That's what these people.
But this is that's an easy answer.
And the wrong answer, as I told them.
Well, that's true, but it's a political answer. And, it you know, we're dealing with elections coming up. And the more you talk about punishing people and locking them up and throwing away the key, this
gets traction.
Leads into these people's campaigns or what have you, that the only way to solve crime is to lock everybody up and get them out of society. You're not dealing with the problem. You're not dealing with the issue of why are these young men out here doing this at all. And the other part of it, you just stated an age. These are still what we call boys.
Yes.
They're not men. So according to the laws that I've read, those boys are under supervision of an adult somewhere.
Yes.
And that adult who is in charge of them is not doing their job for whatever reason, and that is the people who need to be held accountable.
So I
have seven kids of my own, and my children were they were under my supervision until they got to be 18 and beyond, because that's the way I run my family. And anything that they did outside of my home, I was responsible
That's
for
correct.
And held responsible for. So why aren't we doing that to everyone else?
You know, Al, last time I checked, under 18 is an adolescent.
Actually, 19.
Okay, so
I'm saying that because what people don't understand is a child is considered a child until they become an adult, which legally is at age 19 if they're still in high school.
Right, if they're still in high school, and so if that's the case, and it is, then you cannot look at the situation as if you're now dealing with adults, because you're not. And so,
that's the point I'm making.
Yeah,
you should be dealing with the adult who is in charge of that person, and that's the person who should be held accountable. Adult who is in charge of that person.
So, Al, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. On the line, the executive director and president of My Father's House, Mr. Al Holmes, and a good friend. We'll be back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Al Holmes. He is the executive director and president of My Father's House. And you know, Al, I was, before we went to break, if you're just joining us, I was talking about the fact that over the last several weeks, I've been interviewed two times by WTMJ Radio and once by WISN Television on what is right now. You know, you think about all the killings that are going on in the city of Milwaukee right now, record paces of killings. We're going to be joined next week, I think, by the new mayor, Cavalier Johnson. Yesterday, I had D.A. John Chisholm on. But there right now is a full-out panic because of young boys stealing these cars. And it's been an issue now for quite a while. It hasn't abated as many thought it would, because we had kind of a lighter winter. And so normally, if you have the normal winter in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee, it's so cold and so much snow that young boys aren't out stealing the cars. But this was a different story this time around, so there wasn't snow on the ground as much, so they could still steal these vehicles. Now, they've been stealing the vehicles in Milwaukee for a long, long time, as I mentioned when I was being interviewed, and we hadn't heard, you know, the hue and outcry that we're hearing now. The reason we're hearing so much of it now is because it's going outside of the city limits of Milwaukee, and it's become an issue in suburban enclaves. So now the question is, what can we do about this? And I explained to them, you know, we've got a new police chief. We've got a new mayor. The sheriff is new over the last 2 years. Everywhere, you know, new county executive. And to think that individuals are going to, because they're in political positions, are going to fix this is the problem. you know.
Well, the issue, Earl, is just like I said earlier. I run a social service agency working primarily with non-custodial parents, mostly men. And we try to talk to them and teach them about parenting, about healthy relationships, about different factors that can improve their lives. But the key is you brought this child on this earth, and you're responsible for them until they become an adult. And your job is to make them as good as or better than you are. When do we drop the ball and say, you don't have to do your job anymore, and your child starts running wild in the community, and you're not held responsible? I'm from the city of Detroit in Flint, Michigan. I've seen cars being stolen every year for all my life in those cities, and it mostly had to do with the new models. And children were growing up in schools with auto shop and what have you, to where they knew about auto mechanics, and it was easy for them to go take a car, but they were doing it just because they wanted the newer car on the street. These kids are doing what they see on video games.
That's correct.
And these video games are coming out, and they sit up in their homes and play these games, and then they want to go do it for real. But where's the supervision? Where is the accountability of the parent who brought that child on this earth? Until they get 19 years of age, that person is in charge of whatever they do, and that's the person that has to be held accountable. And until we start going back to the old ways with truant officers and whatever, the police and the sheriff and all these other people can't do anything, because it's not being handled where it needs to be handled, at in the home.
So
that's just my opinion.
Well, let me say this. It's certainly an opinion based on knowledge. It's an opinion based on experience. It's an opinion based on facts. You know, I mean, I'm in the schools talking with those boys, and, you know, 10 to 16 years old, and with some of the other guys in the nonprofit that I run. And so, you know, you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the fact that these young boys are watching television, the video games, and they're spending an inordinate amount of time, with those games. And they also say, they'll tell you when you talk to them that they want to see if that's, you know, if they can really do that for real. Now, I know you and I and most people who have been around a little while and who understand that the development of a brain of a young person is at 10 to 15 years old is not in a position to deal with the complexities of life. And that's why they're called adolescents. And so when they can see those things, and here's the other thing that I mentioned that makes no sense whatsoever to me. How can, in a society, you have on the internet how to steal a car? Why should that be on the internet when you know that there are all these issues that people are dealing with? It's not just in Milwaukee. This is happening all over this nation. Don't tell me.
Well, it's not just that, Earl. It's on the internet. You can find information to build a bomb.
Yeah, I know.
You can look on the internet and get information about how to build a gun.
I know. What sense does that make?
All of this is open to whoever can use that computer, and most kids can use them better than we can because we didn't grow up with those.
Well, that's correct. My point is, why is that legal? That makes no sense whatsoever to me. And then people say, well, you know, freedom. People, we don't want to interfere with the freedoms that people have in the country. Well, you know, there's some freedoms that people don't need. And I maintain,
you live in a society with more than one person, you have to have rules of how to engage and to coexist. And that's what our laws and rules are about. And when those laws and rules are being broken, as I said, everything goes back to that one word, accountability. Who is to be held accountable? Building more prisons and locking kids up and not addressing the people who are responsible for them and their responsibility to their children is not solving the problem, because we're not going to the source. We have to go to the source and start the process of fixing things at the source.
You know,
not after the fact.
Al, hold the thought. We've got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Lots to talk about with my friend, Mr. Al Holmes. He is the executive director and president of My Father's House. We'll be right back.
I feel the weight of the world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people get colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Now ask yourself,
where is the love? Where is the love? Where is the love?
One word, one word.
We only got
one word, one word.
That's all we got.
One word, one word.
And something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with it.
Yeah.
Something's wrong with the good world. World here. We only got one.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, my guest, Mr. Al Holmes. He is the executive director and president of My Father's House. You know, Al, before we went to break, I was listening to, the little song that they were playing at the end before we went on break, and as great a song as I've ever heard, the lyrics, the power of it, and yet something like that does not make it. But you can find something with the most vulgar, lyrics, and take a gun and blow that so-and-so's brains out, and that becomes a number one hit. You know, part of all the things that we're dealing with in the society today, Al, and especially in urban centers and other places across this nation, a lot of that is orchestrated. And I'll say this, man. Yeah, parents certainly have a responsibility. You know, as a parent myself, I had parents who made sure that we followed the straight and narrow. I did the same with mine. And the world has changed around us and around parents. And, you know, parents, yes, still have a responsibility, you know, to deal with these issues. I know that, again, my parents had 13 of us. My father could work on a job that made it possible for my mom to be working. I mean, to stay home and raise us, you know, those 13 children. And now, you know, to be quite frank with you, and when I was a young boy, the majority of my peers, you know, had a mother and father at home, and dad worked, and mom raised the children. You look at today's society, and it doesn't matter what color, you know, one out of two, and even marriages end in divorce. It's probably a little bit higher than that. And most of these children are basically being reared by single parents. Now, I'm not saying that it's not impossible to do it, but it takes an extraordinary person to be able to raise a child today, as a single person who works. Because the dad is not there working and providing as you and I were, so we're asking single mothers which I, when I'm talking with the kids at school, I know exactly what, you know, mom is up against. She's got a couple children, three maybe, you know, and she can't deal with trying to take care of the young boy who now is, you know, 10, 11 years old, and, you know, he's not interested in SpongeBob anymore, especially if there's some hooligan who's on the block, who's 17 years old, who's going to take advantage of that young boy. You know, I'm not saying that, that mothers and the people who you know, are guardians of these children don't have a responsibility, but, you know, the society itself play some role in this.
Most definitely, and just as you work in the schools, I was an administrator of Milwaukee Public Schools and federal programs, and I also coached high school sports in five different high schools in the Milwaukee community for 49 years. Most of the kids I coached in track and field, basketball, football, and volleyball came from single-parent homes. My birthday is coming up soon, and I get anywhere between 40 and 100 birthday cards from all over the United States from kids I used to coach. I have one hanging on the wall in my office from a young lady I coached 40 years ago. And she makes it her business to make sure she sends me a card every year. And she states that I was the male role model in her life because there was none at home. And the point I'm making is the fact that we step up to help young people to see the right way to do things. And those who are athletes and involved in other after-school activities get direction from people outside of the family, which gives them direction to see and give them hope that they can do something beyond being living in poverty. The point is, we need to address the problem, which is the home itself. I have worked with parents for years trying to help them better themselves, to get better employment, to focus on doing things a little differently so that they can have a wholesome home for their children and their and better their lives. That's what we do here. But the point is, our society has accepted all of this other stuff, the rap music, the whatever. I grew up with Motown, Motown, rhythm and blues. And the deal is 90% of that music was about love. It was about trying to be nice to other people, what have you. And then all this gangster stuff comes in, and all they're talking about is destroying the household, destroying the family, destroying the life of another person, not helping a person, but to use them and abuse them and then kick them to the curb. I grew up in the streets, and most people who know me don't know that. My parents died when I was 4 and 5 years old. My grandparents, who tried to take care of me, died when I was 11 and 12. I grew up in the streets. I ate out of garbage cans. I lived in cardboard boxes. I don't go around professing that, but that's my life.
Right.
And I did something to make my, I made a commitment to myself that if I brought a child on this earth, they would never live as I did in my past. And I don't blame what happened, but the point is it happened, and I survived. I survived Vietnam. I survived Laos. I survived all over this country. But the point is I teach people how to survive in this situation that we are in, but also to better their lives and make things better for those that they come after them.
So, Al, hang on 1 second, Al. Let's go to the phone lines. Who do we have on the line?
Matt's calling from Janesville.
Hey, Matt, how you doing, man? Thank you very much for the call. Thank you very much for listening. You say what?
Just kidding. We lost him.
Okay. But anyway, let's go back to the fact that, yeah, you know, it's tough. I'll say this, you know, I certainly have not had the longevity of involvement with families and children that you have. You are an inspiration in the dedication and the lives that you've touched. You deserve more accolades than I think any of us can give you in your lifetime.
I don't work.
But I know you don't. Al. I know you don't. You don't forget. I know you. Yeah, I know you. But the point I'm making is that today, these children are faced with, and these parents are faced with, is a little more difficult than what, you know, was happening when I was coming up in the 70s, in the 60s and the 70s. And the kids that I deal with today, have access. And, yeah, there were guns around when you were a young man, but not like there are now. I mean, there's so many guns. Boys 10, 11, 12 years old have guns. And you got to ask the question, how in the world is it possible in a society that these young boys can have access to a gun before they can have access to food and a roof over their heads? But
because
that's,
they're being set up to be destroyed. They're set up to kill themselves and each other.
Okay, so now we're
a society problem that, you know, they didn't make the guns. And they don't distribute them around the community.
Okay, so Al, so now you are right there. You and I know that, you know, when kids can get access, I talk with some of the kids while they're in school, and I always say to them, I mean, let's go to the phone lines first. Who do we have on the line?
L.A. Tom's calling in.
Hey, L.A. Tom, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Earl, first off, we the people are the government, and I am a proud FDR Democrat, and I hope more Democrats actually start bringing FDR back up. As far as this issue goes, my dad was a football coach also for 35, 40 years in Durand, Wisconsin. And at his memorial service, we only have 2,000 people in the town, and over 2,500 people showed up at the high school for his memorial service. And it was at the high school gym, and he had people from all around the world that came out and, shared stories that they had heard from other people who had told them they need to fly from India or wherever it was to Durand, Wisconsin, to say goodbye to Pete Adler. And I think the greatest thing you can do, and Al's touching on it, is being a coach. Being a teacher, being a active participant in the society. Kids want discipline, but they don't want to be taken advantage of. So if you lead by example, if you lead by accountability, if you lead by all of us taking a stock in our society, rather than watching stupid shows like the Kardashians and all of this other stuff, anything that gets a rating bump or a Twitter click, kids want the discipline. One of my favorite movie, well, it is my favorite movie, is Lean on Me with that showed that there was discipline. I am not in favor of any type of charter schools, or I'm in favor of the public school. I'm in favor of that we fund the public schools differently than by our property taxes, as you know. But I see that what people are wanting is they're wanting for there to be some discipline with kids, but then also the kids don't want to be disappointed by the people that are leading them.
Hey, Tom.
I coach football myself.
Tom, we got to go to a break, Tom. You can hit us back later. 844-967-2789 on the line. My good friend Al Holmes, my father's house. We'll be right back. Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Al Holmes, a good friend of my father's house, president and executive director. You know, Al, you're also a wounded veteran. So, you know, you have lived and are still living a full life. But I just wanted to go back to, again, these conversations that I was having with the television station here and the other radio stations here. They are in full panic about what is happening. And my response to them was, you know, some of us have been saying this for, you know, decades and giving warnings to our nation about the injustice and the lack of fairness in a society that was breeding and producing young people who, I mean, I talk with young boys who don't care whether they live or die, Al, they're 12 years old. And so what happens in the life of a child that at 10, 12 years old, they don't care whether they live or die? And
they don't understand that.
I know they don't.
They don't understand death, and they don't understand the pain, not just the pain on themselves, but the pain that they put on
their families. Yes,
and the community,
that's right.
And what have you. See, I'm sorry to say I've witnessed a lot of death in my life, both in my family and in the military. And the point is, death is permanent. And these young people are confused. They don't understand what it means to live.
You should turn your radio down because you're getting the feedback. And you are...
My radio is not on.
All right, so I was hearing something in the background.
They don't understand what it is to live. They haven't been in a situation where they've been comfortable with life. And when they think about death, they think it's a panacea. It's going to fix something. It's a permanent situation that you can't come back from. But it's about all of the ancillary things that happen as a result of that death, and the blame, and everybody else faulting everybody else to a point where it creates more havoc than it solves the problem.
So I'm in total agreement with your assessment on that. But as a society, this nation, and where it is headed, unless it is willing to, and those who are in leadership positions willing to address what is creating the environment that leads a young boy 10 years old to not care whether he lives or dies, even though they don't comprehend what that means. I know when I talk with those young boys, I'll say to them, how many of you have T-shirts with pictures of your loved ones on them, or sweatshirts? You know how it's done in our community, Al. Someone dies young or is murdered, and then there's a T-shirt with the face and of the person who was just killed, and all of them have those T-shirts. And I would talk to maybe 40 kids at a time, 25. How many of you have owned that? And almost all of them would raise their hands. And then I would say to them, you know, the thing about having one of those shirts is, you know, when it's new and you can see the portrait of that person who is gone and no longer here, your pain is really strong because you can see that person and you'll feel that pain all of that time. But after the shirt has been washed over and over and over, the clarity of the picture is no longer there. And so you then begin to forget that person. And that's my way of explaining to them about how, you know, death is permanent. And if that same question was asked of my generation, how many of you own a T-shirt with a picture of someone you loved has been murdered? If 1% of the people of my generation were asked that question, we would look in disbelief. Now, if you're talking, 70%, 80% of children in their development. And so as a society, we've got to address that. If we can spend $1 trillion on military every year, Al, you can't tell me that then we shouldn't spend a little bit on the development of the young people of this society.
Well, and you got to go back to, as I said, the politics. And the part of this has to do with population control and getting rid of those who society doesn't feel is worth being around because they're not contributing to what they want them to contribute to. See, I got pictures in my office. I'm in my office and of my sons who died. I have two sons who passed away in 2016 of a heart attack on his way to work on the bus stop, who was handicapped. And I got pictures of my son who went through the Marine Corps twice and came out and contracted cancer while he was in the Marines and passed away in 2018. My brother died a year ago Christmas. It's a matter of, you know, I see them every day. And it makes me feel good because as long as I keep them in my mind,
right,
they're not gone.
Yeah, they live.
But the point is, they live with me every day. But the point is, they were supposed to be here to bury me. And that is, yeah, it's just people not, don't understand life and death.
So, Al, so with all of your vast life skills and experiences, very vast, you understand that. Now imagine a mother, 20 years old, 22, 30 years old, who doesn't understand that, and they're losing their children. And you know, you hear these...
The question is not that, Earl. I'm sorry to cut you off because I have to go and teach a class in 5 minutes. The question is not that. The question is, why does this 20-year-old have a child? Who mentored her to a point where, at this point, she's not married?
So, Al.
She has a child that out of wedlock and is incapable of not only taking care of herself,
Al, I don't
not take care of the child.
I don't disagree with you on that. But right now,
a yes or no agreement. It's about... This is what about the mentorship I'm talking about. That young lady at 20 years old should be in college or working or what have you, putting her life together.
Can
then do for another child or another person.
Listen, I don't disagree with that at all. But understand today, sex is everywhere. Children in grade school are exposed to sex. You know,
My baby daughter is a teacher for 23 years and was married and had two children. Her children are now in college. But I have four daughters. None of them had a child
They were grown. That's great
and married,
because they
that's
had
what I taught them at home.
I know, but Al, they had a strong father figure in their lives. There are children who don't have that. Okay,
That's what I'm saying because of the fact that it took two people to make that baby, so it to take two people to raise.
I got to go, man. Thank you.
Yes, I have to go.
Yeah, you and I will talk again. Okay. We'll be right back. 844-967-2789. Be right back.